Now am I on? Okay. Oh, so you guys heard me even without the mic being on. All right. Why is it so dark right there? It feels so dark in the middle part. Can't see you guys. I can't recognize. Yeah, I guess it's the light bulbs are out. I am here to close out the kingdom series. God's amazing kingdom. And I hope that you guys have been to most of this series, that you had heard. This is the 8th installment of the kingdom. And so I pray that you had heard the different stories and the different teachings, different experiences that all the speakers had given. And I know for me, it's been this journey of a few years now, and I've really enjoyed, this has made such an impact on my life that I pray that even for you guys, that it is something that you're starting to understand, starting to figure out, starting to see that the king and his kingdom is here. Now, the hard part with that, there's a couple challenges with this series, with this topic, is that we're finding out that the kingdom is everything in the Christian life. Everything that we deal with is part of the kingdom. So you talk about worship. Worship's part of that. We talk about reading the Bible. That's a part of it. Talk about tithing. Talk about fasting. Talk about being a small group, coming to church. Everything in our Christian life, serving, this is all a part of the kingdom. And so it's been a challenge to go, okay, what part of the entire Christian life am I going to talk about today? And that's not even talking about Jesus' second coming. So it's like, wow, what aspects of the kingdom are we going to address? And so as I was praying about this topic and how to close it off, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to encourage people to step into the kingdom. Okay, we've talked about a lot of stuff. We introduced a lot of things. But are we stepping into the kingdom? Are we getting things that are tangible to us that we can say, oh, this is maybe this is my first step into experiencing the kingdom in an intentional way. Everything else has been kind of by accident. So I kind of do this and do this and this, and I look back and I go, oh, yeah, that was God. That was the kingdom. But now it's like, no. Can we be proactive in stepping into the kingdom? Can we be proactive in how we relate to an invisible God and an invisible kingdom? Right? That's been the challenge too. How do we make this real? How do you experience the reality of an invisible realm? I can't just go, here, this is a picture of what it looks like. And so how do we experience the reality of his kingdom? And that's what we've been going over. That's what I'll talk about today. Really, all the messages, all the messages going forward, it's not going to be called kingdom, but really, you can put in your mind, this is about the kingdom. We're talking about Christmas. Yeah, this is about the kingdom. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing. That's what we hope would happen. Now, the kingdom, because like I said, it's invisible, it's not something that it's up to us to strive to understand. It's through God's revelation that he brings it. It's through God and his wisdom that he brings an understanding of the kingdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's from the Lord that he brings an understanding and wisdom and comprehension of this invisible kingdom. Okay? So I'm just kind of laying the groundwork of what it is and of what are we talking today. You know, one thing that I learned about this kingdom as we went through it, this whole eight-week series, is that worship, the worship songs that we sing, it's about the kingdom. Right? The songs that we just sang this morning, it's about the kingdom. Okay, let me bring out a couple. Goodness of God. Who likes that song? Goodness of God, right? Oh, I love that song. I love that song. This is one of my favorite songs. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. Your mercy never fails me. That's kingdom. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. That's singing about the kingdom. That's singing about the king. Without maybe realizing it, we've been singing about the king and his kingdom for all these years that we've been Christians. Champion. Who likes that song? Champion. Who knows that song, Champion? This is another one of my favorite. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won. That's truth. That's truth. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. There's so much truth in that. Good theology about who we are, about our identity in Christ, about where we are seated as spiritual beings, that we are seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. That's what we're singing about. This is the life that God wants us to engage in. This is the life that God wants us to experience. Life outside of the kingdom of heaven, or if we're not engaging with the king, that's the abnormal Christian life. The normal Christian life is when we walk and we see God and we hear God and we go, oh, this is what he's doing. I'm going to step into that. I want to come into alignment with him, and let's see things happen. Let's see the supernatural at work. You know, the Japan team, they went to Japan and did all this intercessory and prophetic things. And maybe from the outside, we can't see exactly what's happening. But in my spirit, I'm going, what they did was they went and prepared the way for what the Spirit is going to do, what God is going to do through people in Japan and beyond. That's the kingdom. And those are aspects of faith that we need to hold on to. Rather than just saying, oh, did they go and you know, work with the youth and then do like a Sunday school? Or they did things that were like, oh my gosh, they were stepping into the kingdom, and we're going to see things happen. And we're going to know that they had a part to play in bringing about the Lord. And that takes faith. That takes faith to see that. That takes faith to step into that. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Now, the elephant in the room is this. What we say and what we say we believe and what we think, is it actually playing out in our lives? Right? In this past 7 or 8 weeks, you go, oh, yeah, you know, as the speaker is talking, yeah, oh, okay, I get what you're saying, yeah. Is it actually playing out in our lives? That when we say, I know God, I read the Bible, do we see it, the principles and the truths coming out in our lives? Where we can say, oh yeah, I read that God loves me and he will never forsake me, so I don't get fearful of him leaving me because I know who he is. When we say we love God, and then we look at our lives, are we really in worship, coming into that place of adoration? Are we really extending forgiveness to our brothers and sisters and letting God's love overflow? Or is it, well, I don't like you. You said this thing, I take offense. And so I'm going to hold that against you. When we say, God, I trust you, and then we go, and then we have things with work, or we have things with our finances, or we have things, and we start stressing out, fearful, I'm worried. Oh no, these things, I'm supposed to be worried about my kids. I'm supposed to be fearful for them because there's so much coming against them. So I'm supposed to be fearful. Really? Really? So is it coming out in our lives that I trust God? Or is it, I trust God when everything's going well, but when things hit the fan, I'm on my own and I'm going to do what I think I need to do. And I'm going to, what everybody says is, yeah, that's what you're supposed to worry. You're supposed to be fearful. That'll help you make good decisions. No, fear never does that. Fear never helps us make good decisions. So that's the elephant in the room. And that's what I want to challenge with us. That's what I want to challenge us today. Me too. To challenge us to say, hey, are my words and what I believe, are they in sync? Is it coming out in my life? Or is it just the words that I say at church and then the rest of my life, the rest of the week is mine and I do whatever I want to do? Because that's not the kingdom. So there's these three areas I want to go over today. It's one, and this is going to help us to grow and to step into the kingdom. The first one is knowing him. We got to know him more. What's it? Yeah, okay, there you go. Knowing him. The second one is loving him. And the third one is trusting him. And these are areas that you can look in your life and go, am I growing in all of these areas? From one easy way to look at this, one great way to look at it is from the beginning of the pandemic, am I the same in knowing God and loving God and trusting him, or have I grown since 2020 when the world was shaken? When this shaking started, have I grown in this, or am I exactly the same, or even worse, have I regressed? That's an easy one for us to look at and to measure and to see what's going on in our lives. So the first one, knowing God. There's two verses I'd like to bring up. Paul was praying over the believers in Colossae, and he was praying over the believers in Ephesus. And so the first one is Colossians 1, 9 and 10. It says this, "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." That's what Paul was praying for the believers at Colossae. I want you to grow in your understanding and your knowledge of God more and more and more. It's not a static thing. It's like, okay, I've gotten to the place. I know God. That's it. I'm done. It's no, growing more and more in your knowledge, in your understanding, in your engagement with the Lord, in your interaction with him. Okay, and then he goes to this other one, Ephesians 1:17. He says this, "I pray for you consistently, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God." Again, he's saying, I pray that the Lord will give you insight. I pray that he will give you spiritual wisdom so that you will continue to grow and grow in your knowledge of God. It's important to understand and to know and experience God. We need to know who God is. We need to know about him. Who he is, what he likes, what's going on in his heart, his character, his nature, what he wants to do. We need to know about his kingdom. If we're going to walk in it, we need to know. If we don't know who God is, then how would we know? How would we be able to discern? Is this in line with who he is? I don't know. I don't know who he is. No. We need to learn. We need to acknowledge. We need to grow in our knowledge. We need to engage with him. And this knowledge, this knowing, isn't just about reading the Bible, although obviously we need to do that. We need to read the Bible. It's good to have these spiritual Christian writers writing stuff that we're reading. But like with any relationship, it isn't just about the facts. It isn't just about knowing about the person, about our friends and family, about God. Even I was thinking about pets. I remember I had two cats. They had distinct personalities, right? You guys know that, right? They have, your animals, they have distinct personalities. And I would play with them or, you know, whatever, engage with them according to part of it, part of their personality. We don't want to just know facts. Have you guys ever heard of a quokka? Quokka, Q-U-O-K-K-A. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right, but that's the way I read it, so quokka. Damien, if we could bring up. It's this cute little animal, right? And it's like, oh man, these guys are, is that Photoshopped? I'm like, is that, let me give you some facts about them, okay? Facts about quokka, their size. They're 5.5 pounds to 11 pounds, okay? So I'm assuming they're around this size, about this heavy, about like a bowling ball. 16 to 21 inches. Their lifespan, you can roll, yeah, there you go. Their lifespan is about 10 years. Average lifespan for a quokka is about 10 years. Geography, where do they live? Western Australia, and there's a huge population on Rottnest Island. Their diet, they eat many types of vegetation, including grasses, sedges, and leaves. And there's a thing called quokka selfies. I don't know if it's gonna, there you go. Where in the mid 2010s, quokkas earned a reputation on the internet as the world's happiest animals and symbols of positivity, as frontal photos of their faces make them appear to be smiling. Is that the one? Yeah, like it looks, he wants to give us a hug or something. Well, they do not, in fact, smile in the human sense. This can be attributed to their natural facial structures. Many photos of smiling quokkas have since gone viral, and the quokka selfie has become a popular social media trend, with celebrities such as Chris Hemsworth, Shawn Mendes, Margot Robbie, Roger Federer, and Kim, of Icon, taking part in this activity. Tourist numbers in Rottnest Island have subsequently increased. Okay, so there's these cute little animals that are out there in Western Australia, and people are doing these selfies with them. And they're just so cute, right? So cute. And I'm like, I'm watching these pictures and I'm like, gosh, I wish I could touch one. I wish I could pet one. I wish I could see one in real life. And, but you know, we have some facts. We've seen some pictures of what they are. And it's like, it's great. It's great to see pictures. But wouldn't it be better if we were actually there? If we actually went to Rottnest Island in Western Australia and just were able to see these little guys, and I feel like, wow, this is great. It's so unfulfilling. It's so unfulfilling. I want to hug one, and I want to have one as a pet. I heard that if you hold them, you could get a ticket or something. So it's illegal to be touching them. That's the way it is with the Lord. Right? We can know all this stuff. We can hear all the stories in the Bible. But if we don't engage with Him, then it's just facts. And God wants it to be more than that. You know, I went to China to pick up my daughter 2019. And we went to this zoo. It's a tropical zoo in a mall. Okay, the mall was about 7 stories. They had an aquarium with a polar bear in that aquarium. They had a natural museum, one of those natural history museums. They had something on astronomy. And then they had the zoo with tropical. It was about, I would say the zoo was about half the size of Costco. And you go in there, and then they have all these. I remember the first thing we went to was these three pedestals. It was like this. Three pedestals, and then the sign said praying mantis. So then I was like, okay, and there's a little plant on each one. And I was like, okay, all these different praying mantis. So then kind of like, okay. And they don't have a lot of enclosures like they do in our zoos. A lot of things are just wide open. So then it's like, okay, where's the, I don't think it's that big. So, you know, so I asked the guy, I go, oh, so where's the praying mantis? He goes, right here, all three. And I was like, you mean they're like right, like each one is on? How do you keep them from like jumping or flying away? And they just stay there. So you kind of look and you go, oh, yeah, I can kind of see. Oh, there's one, there's two, there's three. It's like, wow, look at this. Okay. And then walking down this path and there's these ducks and birds and exotic looking animals. And it's like, what? Shouldn't you guys be in some kind of enclosure? I mean, I don't want to get bit or anything, you know. I'm like, did they come in with us? I'm not even sure. So it's like, okay, what? So I guess in China, or at least in this zoo, they're just all over the place. They're just hanging out and stuff. So then we went, there's a tree and a two-toed sloth was hanging on it. And people are feeding it and petting it. And it's like, and again, just right there. And it's like, won't he bite people? Or, I mean, you know, slowly scratch them? I mean, I got to pet one. Then they had hedgehogs, and it was just a box. And then open, top was open. And then like, there's a bunch of them in there. Looking around. I picked one of them. Like, I don't know if this is legal, but I don't know. So I was just kind of holding it and stuff, and that was cool. I was like, wow, I held a hedgehog. And then the one that I really liked was they had a capybara. And so there's a little retaining wall, and the capybara is in the back. And then, so we're like, oh, yeah, okay, this is kind of like our zoo. So we're kind of looking at it. It's like where Eddie is. So I'm like looking, oh, yeah, okay. So the guy working there, he goes, hey, you want to pet it? I was like, we have to crawl, you know. He goes, no. He goes, he whistled or something, and the capybara came over, and then we were like petting it right there. And I'm going, again, same thing, like, I don't want to get bit. Is he, you know, it's okay. And it was just a really cool experience. And so to me, it's like, yeah, that's the kind of experiences we want with the Lord. Not just, oh, yeah, I see you over there. Okay, I learn all this information. But we actually get to engage. We get to, you know, hold. We get to experience that animal. I want the same experience and even greater with the Lord. I don't want just this. I don't want to just know about the quokka. I want to know. I want to touch. I want to experience. And it's like that's what we're trying to do with this series, is helping us to know but engage with the Lord so that we know him in here, not just here. Knowing God, that's the first thing. You know, one thing that helps with knowing is to understand his character. And so, Damien, if we can bring that one up. I just did a quick search on Google and came up with these characteristics of God. His character. And so for a couple minutes or so, I want you to take a look at these characteristics and see if there's one that the Lord highlights for you in something that you need from the Lord right now. Like for me, it was the goodness. That's the one I've been hanging on for a while. And that's the one when I go through hard times, when I go through challenges. Yeah, go ahead and take a picture of that too. There's no handout, so. But that's the part that I've been hanging on to is God's goodness to me. So when I go through challenges, I reflect, who is God? What is his name? What is his character like? He is good. So how's his goodness going to come out in this situation? And I feel like, oh, I can step into more faith when I understand that God is good. He is so good. And he's a good father, and he's going to watch. He's watching over me. So whatever I go through doesn't change his character or his nature. So, yeah. Spend some time when you're at home. Spend some time looking at this list, asking the Lord to come and meet you in this place with this, whatever character he highlights. And that I pray that that would bless you. The second one is loving God. Okay, so the first one, knowing God. Second one is loving God. Being heart connected with the Lord, this is critical in our relationship with him. This is what it's all about. Loving God, experiencing his love, this love affair going back and forth with him. Really, that's the biggest thing. He first showed us his love. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. This isn't probably the verse that most people would go to, but the part I want you to focus on is the joy set before him. Okay? So it says this, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That part, what's the joy? Who is the joy that was set before Jesus that he was focusing on? It's us. That is us. That's you, Liz. That's you, Craig. You are the joy that Jesus saw, that he said, "I'm going to the cross for them. Because if I go to the cross for them, they will experience redemption. They will get a new identity in Christ. There would be connection between them and me and the Father. They will experience authority and power. And so if I go to this cross, if I die and rise for them, oh, that's the best plan. That's God's plan A. There was no plan B. There was no other plans. This is the plan, that Jesus would go to the cross. And so for the joy set before him, I'm going to go to the cross. That's the love that he has for all of us, that he has for all mankind, saying, "You are my joy. You are my joy. You are my love. You're the reason I go to the cross." If we hear that, and we can't respond in love back to him, I go, man, there's something out of alignment. If I can't do that, there's something wrong with what's going on with me. It's not him. It's me. Something's out of alignment there. So his love for us. But then he also says to abide in his love, to abide in his love. Jesus said in John 15, 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Okay, we've heard that. We've all heard that. We know that. He's saying, all this love that I'm pouring out, all this love, abide in it. Stay in it. Remain in that love. Let it fill you completely so it's overflowing onto the people around you. That whenever you come to a person, you're acting out of love from God, his love for us. That we are just so marinated in it that it just oozes out. He's saying, abide, remain in my love. Let it come out of you. And the last one is our response. The greatest commandment, Mark 12, 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Everything. Everything, everything, every single part, loving God. Loving God completely because of what he's done for us, because he first loved us. Can you imagine what our worship times would be like if every time we got together, we had that in mind? I'm going to love God with every single fiber of my being. Because of what he's done for us. I there are times, even for me, I'm distracted. I'm like thinking about other things. Like today, I was like, okay, what am I going to say? Do I know what I'm saying today when I get up there? Oh my gosh, God, you got to help me. And it's like, yeah, that's a concern. But I have this opportunity. Marcy leading us, Marcy Craig, they're leading us into his presence. And I'm thinking about, what am I going to say? I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Oh, God. Yes, yes. That should be my response. The loving God with every part of me. You know, a lot of you know, I have a short shoulder. And it's been bothering me for a while. And it's not getting any better. It has a good days and bad days. Today is not a good day. But what I asked the Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this pain? What are you trying to teach me? And he said, he just asked me a question. How are you going to respond in this pain? How are you going to respond to me in this pain? Are you going to let it fill your mind with ideas on how you're going to escape this pain? Are you going to think about like, okay, what do I need to do to get away from this pain? What do I need to stop the pain? What do I need to do this, to do that? You know, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to just do whatever I can to numb myself so that I don't feel the pain. Are you going to go? So I feel like he's saying, are you going to go to that place? Or are you going to still worship me even in the midst of the pain? And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to offer him worship, even when my shoulder hurts, even when it's uncomfortable, even when I can barely lift my, I can't even lift it beyond this. Well, hey, that's pretty good, actually. Wow, okay. Okay, right now is good. But I want to offer God worship, an offering, give them an offering that I cannot give when I am healthy. This offering right now, today, right now, this worship, it's laced with parts of me, what I'm going through right now, parts of my pain, parts of my disappointment. I'm offering it up to him and saying, God, this is all of me. This is what I can bring to you right now. And I want to offer that to you because when I'm well, I cannot offer that same sacrifice. It's going to be a different kind of sacrifice that I'm going to give to him. So when I'm in pain, when I'm suffering, when I'm going through hard things, I want to offer that. When I'm in grief, when I'm struggling, when I'm doing this, when I'm doing that, oh, I love you so much. I want to give you this offering in this time because when things are going well, it's going to be a different kind of offering. Can we do that? The song that came to my mind as I was working on this message is, I love the King and the King loves me. I love the King and the King loves me. I love the King and the King loves me. And I love the King and the King loves me. I love the King and the King loves me. I love the King and the King loves me. And in my room, I stepped aside from my computer and I just started to worship. And I just started to worship. And I'm not, you know, necessarily thanking him for the pain, but I'm saying, even in this moment, even in the pain, I'm going to worship you because you are bigger. You are bigger to me than all of that. I'm not going to let this distract me. So my encouragement to us, wherever you are, don't stop giving God worship. Don't make excuses. Don't let fear come in and say, well, this and that. No. Offer him the worship that he deserves. Knowing God, loving God, and the last one, trusting God. As we get to know him and these encounters with him, and as we experience love with him, it's going to grow our trust and our faith in him. That trust and that faith is when it comes in when things are uncertain, things are out of control, when we don't know what's going to happen. And then he says, I want you to trust me in this. I want you to step out and do this. Really? You want me to talk to that? You want me to talk to that person? You want me to do this? You want me to give this money when, man, I'm struggling? He says, trust me. Trust me. Are you going to trust me, who is all those characteristics? Are you going to rely upon earthly wisdom? That's what I feel like the Lord is saying. If you want to operate, if you want to walk in the kingdom, you have to trust. We have to trust. We have to exercise faith. Right? In Hebrews, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible. It's not maybe a little bit on our own strength. No. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, again, famous, you guys know this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Psalm 9, 10, and those of you who know, and those who know your name, will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. For he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will lead you down paths of righteousness to see his glory and to see him being glorified. You know, when we... When the pandemic first hit, and you know, there was so much confusion and so much uncertainty about the virus and all this stuff, and I remember going, "What am I gonna do?" You know, I have a few health risks, and you know, they're saying if you have these comorbidities, then you're susceptible. And I was like, "Oh man, what am I gonna do?" You know, we're gonna do a live stream thing, so we're still gonna get together and we're still gonna, you know, weekly put out a service. What am I going to do? And it was so awesome. You know, finally, obviously made the decision. Okay, well, I'm just gonna trust the Lord. And it was so cool because I would get to the Freedom Center and there's these other people who have basically said the same thing. We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to trust, even though everyone's saying, okay, yeah, stay at home. Don't go out unless you really, really, really have to. Masks are important, are mandatory, all these different things that they were saying, you know, all these things you got to do, and yet there's a group of us that were saying, we're going to trust. So there's the sound guys. There was, we just started, the live stream team. There was the worship teams, the speakers. I think intercessors at one point came out too. And there's this group of people that just said, yeah, we're going to go. Even though all this stuff is saying different things, we're going to go out. We're going to trust the Lord. And then we opened up to the gym, and then even more ministries got involved. And then even some of you guys came out, right? Came out to the gym. You guys remember that? Where we had about, I don't know, 60 or 70 people coming out, and we're all basically saying, okay, you know, we're starting to understand a little bit more about the virus, but still, we can get sick. Something can happen. We're hearing people are dying still yet, so, but we, as a church, said, we're going to come out. We're going to worship together. We're not going to bow the knee to this stinking virus. We're going to say, no, God, we want to worship you. We want to follow you. We want to be together with our church family. And so I go, man, look at what happened. I feel like there's some of you that actually got a promotion, a spiritual promotion from the Lord because of those acts of faith, of that trust, of that desire for him, that hunger for him, that totally overshadowed the risk of getting sick. And I feel like, oh yeah, there's some people, you look at their lives and it's like, oh, they've grown. They've grown since in the past few years. We had an opportunity to step into where the rubber meets the road of our faith. And I think we came out, the church came out of it, we thrived during that time. But we have to exercise trust and faith. So knowing God, loving God, trusting God. Okay? Now I want to wrap this time up with a few things that I talked about in my last message, which was the awareness and interaction with the Lord. Okay? So I was talking, last time I talked about, you know, it's good for us to just be aware, to ask Jesus, where are you in these certain situations? And then to interact with him. Ask him, what is it that you want me to do? So I was at a harvest festival on Halloween. And we went, my whole family, we went. I was with Jackson and Ida was with Eliana. And so Jackson's like, I want to go in the bouncy house. So I'm like, okay, go ahead. So it's like a maze and then there's bouncy stuff inside. So I go with him, and there's all these kids. There's like a line of kids. They all wanted to get in, so I'm just kind of waiting. And then I go, this is my thing. I go, I don't want to get on my phone because I don't want to miss out what God is doing. So I'm just going to sit here and just observe. People watch and just kind of see what God does. So I was standing there, and he goes in, and then 5 minutes, comes back out. And he's like, oh, that was so fun. That was so fun. Oh, okay. I'm going to go again. Okay, go ahead. Go again. So he's in there for about 5 minutes again. He comes out and he's like, I'm breathing so hard. I'm like, wow, I don't know what you were doing in there, but okay, that's good. I want to go it again. Okay, so he went back in. This time he was gone for about 20 minutes. And again, it's a maze, so I can't really see inside what he's doing, right? So I'm just going, okay, and then there's line of kids, and then what they do is when the kids come out, then they let them in. So I'm like, oh, man, my kid, he's been in there for a long time, and all these kids are waiting. So again, 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm getting bored, tempted to pull my phone out. And then I just got this inspiration. Hey, ask the Lord what he's doing. It's like, okay, Jesus, what are you doing? So I just sat there for like a minute, just kind of using my imagination of what Jesus is doing. And then I saw him. He was inside. Again, I don't know what the inside looks like, but he was inside and he was running with the kids. He was having so much fun with Jackson and other kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's what he's doing right now. So then I was like, let me back up. I was like, When he first went in, I was like, should I go in there with him? And there's a few adults that went, but mostly kids. Nah, I'll just stay out here. Let him have his fun. After I saw Jesus, I was like, I want to go in there. So then I was like starting to take off my shoes. And then Jackson comes out. And then he's like, I want to go to the other bouncy house and stuff. Like, okay. But I just felt like that time of just asking the Lord, what are you doing? What? Just my awareness of him changed my attitude where it was, I'm bored, to, oh my gosh, he's here doing something. He's here with the kids doing something, and he's having fun. There's this smile and laughter that's coming out of him. There's another time, I was at a recital, my kids' recital, and they're good, but do you have to play the whole song? Can you just play like, you know, Bach? Play part of Bach. Don't play the whole song of, oh, God. So I was waiting. My kids are just waiting for, and then again, I go, maybe that's what I do. When I'm bored, I just think of, Jesus, what are you doing? And then I saw him in the church, just moving around. And then there's open seats here and there. He would sit down, and then he's like clapping it, not a golf clap. He was like, yeah! And then when the kids would play, and he's just walking around, and he would sit in another empty seat, and he's laughing, and then he would turn and face me, and he'd like wave at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jesus, you're a rascal. Oh my gosh. And he was just having so much fun. I think Bob is kind of like, he embodies, yeah. But it's like, wow, that's what he's doing. And it, again, completely shifted my perspective. And it's like, wow, I'm not bored anymore. I want to join in. And he was just enjoying the music. And I'm going, yeah, that's what it's about. And so these are a few things that we can do every day when you go to work. And you're like, oh, okay, back at work, back at my desk, okay. You can ask the Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing in this place? And he may speak to you, he may give you a word, but he may also show you something. And I tell you, when you see, in your mind's eye, when you see Jesus doing whatever he's doing, it makes whatever activity you're at a lot more fun. Right? Because you go, oh my gosh, he's ministering to Ben right now. Oh my gosh, he's putting his hands on him and he's ministering. Wow, I want to join him. If God is doing that, I want to be in there. And so when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're out with the neighbors, when we're out with family, when we're jogging, when we're riding bikes, when we're paddling, when we're whatever activity it is that we're doing, if we can just say, Jesus, where are you? What are you doing in this moment? And then I want to get involved. I don't want to just you to have all the fun. I want to be part of that. And I believe that as we do that, as we understand him more, and as we love him more and experience that love, and as we trust with faith more and more, we're going to walk and step into areas of kingdom that we had never seen before and be able to say, hey, God, let's do this. Let's do this together. Okay, so before I close, let me do this one thing. I'm going to pray, and if you feel like you want breakthrough in your knowing and your interactions with God, I want you to just put your hands on your forehead. If you feel like you want a breakthrough in love, you put your hands on your heart. And then if you feel like I want a breakthrough in trust, then you just hold your hands out like that. And I'll pray for every single group, okay? So let's do with the ones with the knowing God more. So you can, and if you want, you could do multiple. I mean, not at the same time. You know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to do this. But like, when I pray for those, I'm going to do each one individually. And if you want that breakthrough in the knowledge or understanding or your engagement with the Lord, you can put it there. And then, oh, I want the next one too. Oh, I want all three of them. Then go ahead and do that as well. Okay. So go ahead. So put your hands on your head if you feel like you want breakthrough for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for those that have put their hands on their head and that say, I want breakthrough in my understanding, in my discernment, in my knowledge, in my engagement with you. I want breakthrough. Lord, I pray that you would come and meet them right now. Holy Spirit, that you would come upon them right now and bring your anointing upon them, that they may sense your spirit with them right now, and that you lifting things off in their minds that don't belong, lies that they have believed, and that you fill it with your truth of who you are and your character and your nature, Lord, and that they would grow in their understanding of you, that you would bring your revelation right now about who you are to them. So Lord, yeah, do that right now. Bring that breakthrough. Bring that breakthrough. Bring that breakthrough to them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. For those of you that feel like you want to experience more of his love, more engagement with him, more love coming from you to him, and you can put your hands upon your heart. And I'll pray for breakthrough there. Lord, may the magnitude of your death and resurrection become more real to us, that we would know, gosh, this is how much God loves me. This is how much God loves me. That it would be a richer, fuller love that we experience. That we would see different sides of your heart. Different sides of your heart and your desire for us. That we would know that we are your beloved. We are your beloved. And that you, we thrill your heart when you see us. And that heart-to-heart connection with you would just strengthen and increase, Lord. Thank you, God. Bring that breakthrough. Bring that breakthrough so that when we engage in worship, that this love just overflows from us like a fountain, just overflowing, overflowing, overflowing. And even as we engage with other people, that they would experience your love just pouring out of every pore of ours, that it would just come out. Thank you, Lord. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And the last one, you just hold your hands out like this. If you want more experience, more trust and faith in the Lord. So Lord, we know, God, without faith, it is impossible to please you. And God, you are our Father, our good Father, who we want to please. We want to walk with you. We want to obey you and to love you and all that, Lord. We want to trust you more and more every day, that as we go through life, that we don't start taking things on for ourselves, that we say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. And the striving would cease. And that we would come to that place of surrender and say, God, you got this. You got this. But Lord, that it doesn't lead to passivity, but it leads to an active waiting with you, trusting you. So Lord, I pray that you bring breakthrough in our faith, in our trust of you, God, that we will lead lives that just bless you and honor you because you are the one we are trusting and relying upon. Thank you, Lord. So bring that breakthrough in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's have the worship team come on up. Thank you for all that you are doing, Lord. We just bless you this morning, for you are worthy of praise, Lord, that as we enter into worship now, that it won't be just songs that we're singing. It's not just our lips moving or singing a song because, hey, this is my favorite song, or I don't like the song, so I'm not going to sing. That's not what it's about. It's about engaging with you. It's about connecting with you. So, Lord, I pray that this be just this awesome time of worship and connecting with you, God. Thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.